What are you going to do for white people? I always hear you Democrats, you...
Tommy, it's a bad question.
It's a wonderful question. If I said, what are you going to do for minorities, you guys would all have an answer.
It's a bad question. Let me tell you.
Hold on. If I asked you guys, what are you going to do for minorities, you would all have an answer for me, wouldn't you?
There are angry people in this city.
Yes.
There are upset and frustrated people in this city of all stripes.
So you don't have an answer.
I'm going to do something that people are going to perceive that I'm doing for people that are of Irish descent.
Yes.
We have to bring the St. Patrick's Day back. The St. Patrick's Day parade has to come back.
Yes, I agree. Marcos Devers agree. I love it.
Let's be clear about that. That's not race baiting.
I am old Devers.
Oh, that's a great clip, George. Thank you for that. Right, because if I asked a question, folks, just piggybacking on that last clip, if I had a bunch of people in here running for office and I asked them, what are you going to do for Latinos in Lawrence? They would have a 15-minute answer, wouldn't they? If I said, what are you going to do if you're running for state senate, or I said, what are you going to do for the black people in Roxbury? They'd have an answer, wouldn't they? And they would have an extensive answer. It wouldn't be just a short answer. But whenever I ask, what are you going to do for white people? No one has it. Oh, come on, Tom. What did Dan Rivera say? What was his? Yeah, exactly. That was Dan Rivera's answer. Crickets.
That's my favorite question that you ask to politicians.
Oh, is it really?
I didn't listen to any of the mayoral debate last week because I was busy. But I turned on the radio once. I think it was around once, and that was the exact sentence I heard.
Are you going to ask?
So, what are you guys going to do for white people?
Yeah, what are you going to do for white people? Because if I said, what are you going to do for gay Americans? They would have a 15-minute answer about gay marriage and all this other stuff. If I said, what are you going
to
do for Latinos? They'd have a 15-minute answer about immigration and welfare and services and language problems. But when I say, what are you going to do for white people? Crickets. No one has an answer for that question ever.
George? There they are.
Yeah. That's the Dan Rivera answer. Another guy that voted for the $35 million bailout loan, then laid off cops and firefighters anyway with Willie Lantigua.
Oh, you can ask me that question. I have a backbone.
Oh, you have an answer? Hey, look.
I got a spine.
12 years of doing the show, we're finally getting an answer to my favorite question. So, Mark Gray, what are you going to do for white people?
Pick any racial group you want.
I want to know what you're going to do for white people. That's the only one I care about.
I'm not going to do anything.
You're not going to do anything
for
them?
You know
why? That's a good answer.
Because it's against the law.
What?
It's against the law to discriminate against.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Well, then how come Willie Lantigua is not in jail? He only cares about Dominican people.
Oh, because we don't have any enforcement of those rights and laws.
Okay, so you could do it and just not get caught.
I'm not going to do it because I'm an American and we don't believe in discrimination.
Maria de la Cruz, as beautiful as you look today, and by the way, thank you for looking as good as you do. What are you going to do for white people if you get in?
You know, as a community of Lawrencians, I think we are just a family. We are not colors. We don't paint colors human. We are just a family.
Right.
And one of the things that I remember very much that it was included with the school department was the St. Patrick Parade. That is something that it was taking away. You know, we still enjoy the San Alfio Parade, you know, the 3 days on the weekend, beautiful.
And Hispanic Week's the best event of the whole year, isn't it?
But let me tell you, Italian one, no.
You think the Italian's the best one in Lawrence?
No. It's the most people coming.
The cops had to pry me off the common on Sunday night at the end of the Hispanic Week last year. I'm not kidding. I can't even tell you who the cop was. He came over and said, Tom, you have to leave. It's been over for an hour. I said, I'm not leaving. I'm staying.
It's Italian. But it's so good that we can celebrate different cultures.
Yeah.
When I moved to Massachusetts, the first parade I attended was the St. Patrick Parade. And I think it was so much into it, so much culture, that we had to bring it back.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Now, where is your victory party? Are you going to be going anywhere on election night?
I will need to go home because I'm very tired.
But you're not going to be at Lantigua headquarters celebrating, are you?
Of course not.
No?
I'm not welcome there.
No. You and me both. I go anyway. I'm not welcome, but I just show up.
Don't be funny, Tommy.
That never gets old. Yeah. How about you, Mark? Where are you going to be election night?
I might be...
At my parents' house.
Yeah, I don't know. I could be home. Could be with my family.
Yep.
I don't know.
You never gave me your ex's phone number, by the way. You promised you were going to do that.
You know who to talk to?
Who's that?
Personally, I will not take bribes. You know, I look down my nose.
To offer a bribe, but since you won't take
one. But my littlest one.
Oh, yeah?
Does.
Really?
Yes.
Couple of free donuts and we're in?
I you know.
All right, make sure you hang out after the show. Your son and I are going to have a long conversation.
It's a severe lack of parenting on his father's behalf.
Understood. Yeah, excellent. All right, lunch with Mark Gray's son after the show. Len Tarmy is on the line. He is from the Lowell Lions Club. Now, I love the Lowell Lions Club. Anyone who listens to the show, no, I'm not a guy who supports charities. Most charities, I tell you, don't even bother giving you money because it doesn't go where it's supposed to go. Lowell Lions Club does a great job, though. We actually put them in the Valley Patriot as many times as we can a month. I'm pretty sure that they're in the notebook this month. And Len Tarmy is here because he wants to talk about an event that they're sponsoring to help blind children. So why don't you go right ahead, Len?
Well, thank you, Tom. I just want to let everybody know that the Lions Club, we're up at the Market Basket on Wood Street today. It's about 4 o'clock this afternoon. And what we're doing is we're outside and we're collecting money, looking for donations to help the children of the Merrimack Valley. Also, we have a recycle box for anybody that might have used unwanted glasses at home. Come on by the Market Basket on Wood Street, and we'll gladly take them off your hands.
All right, and while you're at Market Basket, go in and get yourself a Valley Patriot.
Yes, matter of fact, they want me to tell you, Tom, they're down to the last 3 or 4 editions here. They're getting low.
All right, paging Dan Salinas. Paging Dan Salinas.
We need a redelivery here.
We need a redelivery at the Lowell Market Basket on Wood Street. Len, thanks so much for calling in, and thanks for sending us your press releases. We definitely appreciate it.
Thank you. You're doing a great job, Tom. Thanks very much.
Thank you, sir. 978-454-4980. George from Lowell, is that correct? George from Lowell, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Tommy. How are you today?
Good. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I have a question for Maria Cruz. First of all, I'd just like to comment. I like listening to her in terms of her discussion and elaboration on specific issues affecting the city of Lawrence. We have over 17,000 Latinos here in Lowell, and we don't have any candidates from the Latino community running for the city council or the school committee this year. So my first question is, why do you think that is, or what do you think we could do to make that better? And then my second question also contains a comment about the city of Lawrence moving the high school from their downtown area over to the Holman Stadium area. Was she involved in that? Maria, were you involved in that? And how do you think that's going? I'll go ahead and hang up and listen.
Okay, I'm going to answer the second question first.
Okay.
Tom, you remember when we didn't have a place for the high school? I was a teacher at the high school, and it was a fight every day because of the lack of space. We were punching each other in the way going up and down the stairs. Then we needed a high school building. And at one point, we had to fight for the money to come in to the city of Lawrence. The $110 million that they provided, it was the fight just to get the money coming in. After that, we needed a location. The North Common doesn't have the space that the stadium had at that time, and that was another discussion that we had to fight as parents. I was sitting there in the backstage. That's why maybe you didn't hear a lot about me, but I was working very hard with the parent community to make sure that not only to get the money but to get a place. And at that point, they wanted to destroy the library and the high school, the old high school. It was more money that we needed for. Then finally, I think it was Mayor Darling that helped out to make a decision that it was supposed to be in the South.
Yeah, and Michael Sweeney.
And Michael Sweeney. That was the first question.
I think that was one of the few times me and Mike were on opposite sides of an issue. I wanted it in North Lawrence. I didn't want it in South Lawrence.
But the North Lawrence, remember, it was more than $110 million. Dollars.
Yeah. But it's other people's money. Who cares, right?
Yeah, who cares? Well, finally, we have one of the best high schools. But the good thing is that it was the promised land to me because I never taught at the new high school building. As a teacher, as a parent, when they select the parents, I was not chosen to go over there. Right. Then, you know, I'm still happy because I make a very good effort. And at that time, I remember I told them we need tables and chairs for lefty people. Right. And they made fun of me. Wow. Because we had 3 ways that lefty people can write, and they never asked teachers how to make changes. They just make the law. then they didn't know how. I had three different kind of lefty students that were uncomfortable on those old chairs that we used to have.
I love the way she talks. I love the way she rolls her eyes. I think it's very sexy.
And the second question, how can you get more people involved? The people, the Latinos that are living in Lowell, you know, they are people that they don't want to live in Lawrence because Lawrence is a very poor city. And sometimes they are afraid of the language. They don't speak English or they don't want to get involved, you know. Then
tell them to come on this show, if they, especially if they're a Latina. Come on this show if you want to run for office in Lowell. We'll help you out.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, that people are a little shy. I'm not shy. I know I have an accent, but I love my accent.
It's a beautiful accent.
Thank you.
I love it. I gave you 20 extra points for that
accent. What kind of accent is it?
It's Latino. I speak Spanish.
Okay.
I'm from the Dominican Republic, but I'm not planning to take any of the things from Lawrence to Dominican Republic. I'm not.
Willie Lantigua, you're not going to send any pencils, any police cars, nothing to the Dominican.
Let me tell you what I do right now. My family, we collect money and we send it to, you know, Father Jorge over there?
Yes.
I just came from a mission. I work over there. I did cookout in my house. People came to my house. People donated book bags and stuff like that. And we made raffle and we send that money to Dominican Republic, to Asua Dominican Republic, especially to Father Jorge.
Yeah.
My family had to put a lot of effort to work in there and money. You know, it's not something that we taking it away. We donating to that place every month.
Paul, do you have something or should we move on?
I was wondering, why do you think most people in Lawrence that are Dominican vote for a Dominican candidate? Why do you think that phenomenon continues?
It's a good question.
Some people, they might get too familiar with people. You know, people create niche.
They create a niche.
Yeah. You go to get clicks.
Yeah.
But you have to be a voice. You cannot look at one or two community in two people in the community. We are a lot of people from different backgrounds. And as a teacher, I had the opportunity to work from people from all over the
idea,
world.
But the idea is that a Dominican candidate will help Dominican people. Is that the idea that most Dominicans have?
I don't think so.
Then why did they vote automatically for the Dominican candidate?
I don't think so. I think they had to like the mayor, like they did with Major Sullivan. They liked Major Sullivan and they voted for Sullivan. You know,
yeah, but that's because Willie endorsed him. I mean, let's call it like it is.
At one point, they were with Major Sullivan. You know, I don't vote that way. Yeah. I vote because I think that person can make a difference.
Right, me too.
I think
Mark, you're not as cute as she is. That's why I'm giving her more time.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
I have more, you know, I'd probably have a little bit more detailed thoughts, but I agree pretty much with everything she's saying.
Yeah.
The only thing I would add to this question in particular is that I believe it's a lack of American values. American values are independence and things of that nature.
Well, Maria, do you think that many Dominicans in the Lawrence area are not willing to assimilate into American values?
I don't know why. I teach citizenship classes.
And God bless you. Seriously, God bless you.
Yeah, I do that. You know why? And I always tell people, go to 1 Jackson Street, because you have to learn the history of the place where you're in. Mm. I don't want people to tell me, you know, I started reading all kind of paper. I get the Patriot, I get the Rumble, I get all kind of paper. You know why? Because
as long as she didn't say the Tribune, she's still in good standing with us. good job.
I read papers that are talking about the truth of the city.
Right.
And I love it. Sometimes I'm not confident with them because they lie, because they take sides.
Right.
But as a human being, I think I have a mind. I don't vote because you are Latino. I for example, right now Marcos Devers, he supported me. Then I look at him as a teacher. If we need to buy books, I know he will say yes. Mm-hmm. He will approve it because he understands the teaching things. I say, you know, that's the way I look at Marcos, not as a Dominican. I look at him as a, you know, as a teacher who has the experience. He was at the vocational school, he was at the high school, and he has that experience.
Yeah. I know you probably hate these questions, but I'm going to ask one more. Do you think that Dominicans in Lawrence have different needs than European Americans in Lawrence?
I think the same needs continue to be on. They need jobs, in the community. Okay. They don't need to travel that far every single day. They are single parents, a lot of single parents, because as
I can help with that,
immigrants, you leave one part at home and then you come in. You know, there is a lot of single parents that they need to be parents and they need to support the family at the same time. What I recommend is that we need to be assimilate the new culture a lot. That's why I teach citizenship classes, because you have to know about the place you live in.
Great.
I don't want people to tell me. I want to be there. You know, I was at the park today. There is a lot of activities in the park. They have a cancer walk with Joanna, but they also have a group of people that are teaching about cleaning the park, that they part of the Bread and Roses.
Right.
They, you know, I spoke to both of the group because I think they're working for my community again.
For fear of hijacking the show and making it beneath the surface, indulge me to ask one more question.
Sure.
Kind of a beneath the surface kind of question. Why do so many leave their spouses behind and come to America? Why the broken families? Why can't they come? Why don't they come together?
Okay. The immigration department, sometimes, if my mother asked me to come, they don't allow me to bring my husband and sometimes the children. Then it is a process. It is about 5 years that you can get your family together. And it sometimes takes about 10, 20 years for all the family.
You would think Obama would have fixed that by now.
He's been doing a lot, but it's still...
I'm just curious. Is it worth being away from your husband or wife for 5 or 10 years?
You know, when you need to put food on the table, you just need the money.
That's it.
Right.
You just need the money.
It's necessity.
Yeah.
All right.
It's necessity. Yeah.
I'm going to give you guys both a minute to tell people again why they should vote for you, and then we're going to move on to another topic, but you're fully free to stay if you'd like to. Mark Gray, tell us why people should vote for you and not the other 12, or not the other 10 people, because we have Maria here, you and Maria. Thanks for coming, Mark. Good night.
Thank you. My name is Mark Gray, city councilor at large. And the reason why you should vote for me is because you're the people that have complained and yelled at the TVs and said, like me, how horrific all these elected officials are, what a horrible job they're doing, how they're all in bed together, how they all rubber stamp everything, how they don't listen to anyone, they ignore what you say. And I am the exact opposite of that. I listen to what everyone has to say. I welcome input from everyone. It only makes an elected official's position stronger and more intelligent if he listens to more input. And I believe that. I believe in representing the people. I always have. And I will not run for office if my position was anything other than that. So you, the people, will get representation. You will get someone to listen to. You will get someone who takes your input and weighs it with everyone else's, someone that can dialogue with you, someone who is going to research and look into everything that he votes on, someone who actually has a plan, unlike most of the other candidates who just put their name down there and they're going to listen to one other person or a clique of people. It's something I abhor, and it's something I'm not going to do. So that's what you're getting. You're basically putting yourself in the representative seat if you're the person that's been angry about what's going on, if you're the person that wants change, then I'm the person to do it for you. If you don't want to elect me, then you're going to get what you've been getting year after year, which is a bunch of rubber stamps that do whatever they want and line their pockets with whatever favors they can. It's a very clear-cut option here. You're either going to vote for the same thing you've been getting and you can continue complaining about it, or you can vote for me and have at least one other candidate who's going to put an end to that.
Yeah, Mark LaPlante needs help. He's the only member of that council, the only one who has consistently asked for accountability from the Lantigua administration. Dan Rivera is doing it now because he's running for mayor. But prior to that, he voted for everything Willie wanted. Roger Toomey has voted for everything that he's wanted. All of the other councils have given them, with the exception of Mark, have given him almost every single thing that he's wanted. Eileen Brunel was a profile in courage on one or two votes. We'd like to encourage a little bit more of that. But for the most part, she gave Willie everything he wanted, too. There's at least two people sitting here in the studio who could be sitting as city councilors at large in Lawrence. And I'm pretty sure Maria de la Cruz is not going to vote against everything Willie wants. But she's certainly not going to vote for everything Willie wants because it's Willie. And you're never going to get a phone call from me, either one is. And you can ask anybody. You can ask Diana DeZoglio. You'll never get a phone call from me because you voted a way I didn't like. The only time you're going to get a phone call from me is if I think you're pandering. And if I find out Mark Gray has sold out to Willie Lantigua and Maria de la Cruz has sold out to Willie Lantigua, we're going to be more brutal with you than we were with other people because we expect more. We know you guys get it now. So I'm asking my friends, my family, to please go out and vote for Mark and Maria de la Cruz. And, you know, there's one other vote that the voters can, you can vote for three. Any of the other candidates want to call in, including Roger or anybody else, to make their pitch and tell me why I'm wrong. Or tell me why the voters should vote for them. I'll give you time.
I am old Devers.
That's what having a real producer is all about, right? The other guys were great, but they were board ops. George is a producer. I didn't cut that clip. He did. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Let's get some Shakira going. We're going to talk about the Million Muslim March. We never got to Jerry Remy. Hopefully we can get to that. Yes, Maria, you have more to say? Go ahead.
Yes, I would like to say thank you for the invitation. And why should Maria run for mayor? For city council.
That's
city
2 years.
I remember when I started with Lawrence Community Works, it was a little place on 85 New Berry Street. Now they are a huge entity. Then why not to start small in the community and to start making the changes that we need? I will never, never give my vote to anything that I don't think is right, that anything that is not going to benefit the whole community. I'm not talking about one race. I'm talking about the whole community.
Right.
I will never give my vote without asking people, because you have a week to decide, to talk, to investigate. Why should I say yes? Why should they increase the 2.5 tax on the homeowner taxes? You know, I will have discussed the topic to a million people before making a decision yes. I don't think I would have voted yes, because that is going to harm everybody in the community. Then you should vote for Maria de la Cruz on November 17th, because I'm a voice for the community. And I'm not a racist. I'm a human being, and I love people as human. And we Lorenzians need to work for our community. Thank you for seeing you again.
978-454-4980. Million Muslim March, and this, the disgrace that we call our news media in America today. Back when we come back from news or from stuff and things, whatever we're doing. Gets it even, Mark Gray and Maria de la Cruz.
Hi, this is Councilor Patrick Blanchette, and you're listening to Tommy Duggan Paying Attention. Are you?
What a great week we had at the Valley Patriot. Wow. If only I could talk about it, and I can't. But it will very soon be talked about. Just want to say we had a really good week.
Share some of the juicy details, Tommy.
I wish that I could. Yeah. But there's a gag order. I'm not allowed to speak. I think I'm the only guy on the planet that's had as many gag orders as I've had on this issue. But at some point, we will talk about it, and it was very good for the Valley Patriot. It was very good for WCAP, and certainly it was very good for me personally. And we will have some final stuff to talk about when all the ink is dry. But I want to thank everyone who stood by us. I want to thank everyone who stood by us, the radio station, the Valley Patriot, me personally,
people who put their reputations on the line stepped forward, didn't have to do that, and I appreciate that. I also am not going to forget the one person who betrayed us in all this either. That'll be something that we'll talk about far, far into the future. Paul Morano, my fine, fine co-host.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance, Paul, this week?
No.
No, you didn't. All right, well, thanks for coming.
Right. Tell me.
Did you get a chance this week to see the see any news reports on any cable news station about the Million Muslim March this week?
No. As a matter of fact, I don't think I have. No. I think I remember it being promoted.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember any post news on it.
Isn't that interesting? That's because there wasn't any.
Huh.
I know The Five, which is a TV show on Fox.
You bet.
Talked about it a little bit. But what they did was they ran what's called B-roll footage. That's when they go out and they do video without audio.
Yeah.
And then they run it in the background while the person in the foreground yeah. is talking.
Right.
But here's what they didn't do. Their job.
Hmm.
CNN... MSNBC, CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox News. Not one of them did their flipping job this week.
Well, what did The Five say about it?
Well, The Five is like a talk show. It's not really a news show. And the five people sit around, and you've got the B-roll footage in the back while they're discussing the issue. But none of the news reporters did their flipping jobs. Because here's what I expected. I expected the same thing that I would have gotten if this was a pro-abortion rally, where they would go down and they would ask people, why are you here? Tell us where you come from. You know, did you drive all the way from Michigan for this? Why is it important to you? How many people are here? And then show all of the people that are there and ask a couple of people, like, why are you here? What's going on? The media didn't do any of that. None of it. We had B-roll video footage with no audio. Most stations didn't cover it at all. The ones that did had the B-roll, and that was it. There were no interviews. There was no anything.
Well, why,
nothing.
Why was it considered so unimportant then for the news media?
Because nobody showed up.
Well, then wouldn't that make sense that they didn't cover it if nobody showed
up? No, that's all the more reason to. Well, let me ask you this. Yeah. Let me flip around the dichotomy. If the Tea Party had promoted that they were going to have a million people march on Washington, D.C., and five people showed up, you think that would have been the first? You think they would have interviewed Paul Morano at the event and said, how come only five people showed up?
Perhaps. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they would, too.
Yeah.
I think if you look at the way the media does their job, the news media, they follow the same formula, and they should follow the same formula for everyone, but they don't. They follow one formula if it's a story that fits their narrative.
Yeah, we know.
And then either no story or a certain type of way of reporting a story when it doesn't fit their narrative.
We know the media has a particular ideology,
and
you will never get a balanced approach to reality through the media.
So on all day on 9/11, I'm flipping through every channel I can in the office. I've got four TVs on, and I've got all the remotes, and I'm flipping back and forth trying to find anybody, one television reporter, just one, anywhere on the planet, who walked over to those 25 Muslims and said, how come nobody showed up? Or how about this? Tell us your name and why you came here. Why is this important to you? What is the purpose of this demonstration? And a demonstration, in other words, a demonstration was promoted that a million Muslims were going to march on Washington and then didn't. But the people who showed up, not one member of the press went over to ask them, A, why they were there, because now we don't know. Why did those 25 people show up and nobody else? Right, that's kind of important to the story, I think. And B, how come nobody showed up? Guarantee you, if it was a pro-life rally or a Tea Party rally,
all right,
they would have gone over to the pro-life leader and said, how come nobody showed up?
Well, first of all, you know as well as I do, if it was a pro-life rally, as they do every Washington every January, they're gonna cut the numbers in at least one third. I mean, when there's 600,000 pro-lifers on the Washington Mall, they usually say there's tens of thousands.
Right, yeah.
So that would happen there. But
and that's just the lying part.
Yeah, yeah, that's total lying. But let me ask you this. Why do you think, what motivation do you think the media, quote unquote, the media has in not asking these questions?
You know, I pride myself on having answers to most questions. I don't think I have an answer for that one. I was actually surprised. I shouldn't have been, but I was. I expected on 9/11, no matter who showed up, whether it was five people or 50,000 people, I was expecting Fox News or CNN or some professional reporter to go over to somebody who was there and say, tell me your name, what town do you come from, why did you come here today, why is this important to you? Even if they didn't go to the leaders and say, how come nobody else came, at least do a story about the individuals who thought it was important enough to go in whatever they were doing, celebrating their Muslim heritage, whatever it was that they were doing in Washington. But as of today, 3 days later, 2 days later, we still have no idea why those 25 people showed up and nobody else did. Not one member of the press, folks, I'm going to say it again, not one member, not one, bothered to ask it a question. Not even one.
Well, then let me take the opposite
point. It's making me crazy.
Is it possible that Muslims are being discriminated against?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, in what way?
By being ignored.
No, by the news media, the pro-Muslim news media?
All right.
The one that won't even call them Muslim terrorists?
Well, apparently they were ignored, at least the number that came. I'm just wondering why.
I don't know, but I do know nobody did their job. Nobody. Nobody did their job. I didn't see Steve Santani from Fox News out there asking somebody in a burqa, what town are you from? Are you from Dearborn, Michigan? Are you from California? How did you get here? How long did it take? Why are you here? Why are you here with your children? Why is this important to you? I would think any reporter covering a Boy Scout meeting would ask that question.
Were these questions ever asked regarding the promotion of this thing? In other words, this is a million Muslim march for the purpose of X.
No.
No.
No. I never saw one report as to why they were marching, only that they were marching.
Hmm.
So the media gave you some information about something that might have been a story, but nobody knows what that information is or what that story could have been because nobody else did their job.
Hmm.
And look, and I don't care what the answer is. Just ask the question. I mean, again, if the media shows up today in Chelmsford for their farm day, whether it's the Lowell Sun or the Eagle Tribune or any other paper, they're going to go over to a mom or they're going to go over to a dad. Are they going to go over to a kid and say, where are you from? Why are you here? Why is this important to you? Are you having fun? What did you expect? Is it what you expected? Those are questions that a seventh grade journalism student who's taking a journalism class at a middle school in North Andover would ask. If you were covering for a high school newspaper, you'd ask that question. And yet, with the millions of people who live in this country and the hundreds of thousands of people who work in the news media, not one of them did that. And I'm disgusted by it because it goes once again to show that CNN and MSNBC and Fox News and ABC and the rest of them are not autonomous news agencies. They do not work independently of each other, and they are not competing with each other for anything. They're all in the tank, and they're all following the same marching orders from somebody who we don't know. But you can't tell me that every single one of these stations independently just decided that day not to do their job. I'm sorry. I just don't buy that at all. Paul Morano.
Well, I'm trying to look at it from a detective's point of view, and I'm just wondering, do you think that the media was trying to cover for them in as much as the small numbers might have indicated that there wasn't much interest?
Yeah, maybe. But I don't think the reason is as important as making sure everyone understands what happened, or what I should say didn't happen. The other thing that we didn't get all that much of was we didn't get all that much about Rolling Thunder. I mean, they showed the video of them riding through the streets as B-roll footage in the background. I didn't see one reporter go over to a guy who had a helmet on, sitting on the side of the road with his motorcycle and say, hey, where are you from? And how far did you ride today? And why are you here? This entire thing got whitewashed, the entire thing, from beginning to end. This entire flipping thing got whitewashed. And I have to tell you, I'm more disgusted with Fox News than the rest because I expect more of them, but I'm not surprised.
So marches in general maybe are just...
No.
When
there was a pro-abortion rally, I forget when it was, a few months ago, I put on Fox News, which is supposed to be a conservative news station, and they were down there asking people, why are you here? I'm here for women's rights. I even remember what the answers were. Wait, I'm here for women's rights. I'm here for women's reproductive rights. We have to protect women's rights, blah, blah, blah. And again, doesn't matter what the answer is. You had a reporter asking the question, and the viewers got to learn something, agree with it or not. When they had the march, they just similarly had a march for, I can't remember what it was. There was another march in D.C. about a month and a half ago or so, And I wish I could remember what it was. I don't know if it was Wall Street, if it was Furs, but whatever it was, I do remember flipping through MSNBC and having a reporter asking the organizer, why are you here? What did it take to organize this? Are you surprised by the turnout? There was one-on-one discussive interaction on film that was run during news shows, during news stations, news reports, and yet 9/11, the biggest thing that's ever happened in the history of America, not one reporter went out and asked a stupid question, not one, or even a good question, or any question. There was nothing. It was crickets. And the whole day, I'm in my office. I wish I could have left because I wanted to go to the Lawrence.
Well, you know what else was ignored?
What's that?
On 9/11, Benghazi.
Oh, absolutely. Totally, Fox is totally the only ignored. One that covered it. I think Fox is the only one that covered it. And everyone else, it was just crickets. And, I bring this to my readers and my listeners' attention, A, because it makes me nuts, and I need therapy when these things happen, because that's how nuts it makes me, because I'm a news guy. I'm in this industry, and I'm ashamed of my own industry. But the other reason that I bring it up, too, is because I don't have all the answers, but if you guys out there listening are asking the questions that I'm asking, then I'm not alone asking the question. And that is, how is it possible that you can watch 7 different news channels and flip through while the news is being broadcast at the top of any given hour and find out that all 7 channels are running the exact same story with the exact same B-roll footage in the background, with the exact same quotes from the exact same witnesses about the exact same event that happened, and then go to their second story. When you flip back and forth, you find out their second story on CNN is the same exact second story on Fox.
Well, do you think there's a lot of polling maybe that goes on in these outlets that's tell the news management exactly what people want to hear, what they want to tune into?
I don't know. Like, how do you do that when something's breaking?
I don't know.
You know, I mean, if you have a breaking news story that there's a shooting in a school, CNN covers it second in their lineup, Fox covers it second in their lineup, and MSNBC follows it second in their lineup, and you can't tell me that those are just 7 independent decisions being made by 7 independent. I just don't buy it.
Well, the breaking news stories, they all cover. But the non-breaking news stories, there might be polling saying, you know, what will viewers watch?
Yeah. It's just too coincidental. Tom Weaver's on the line. Want to take his phone call?
He's actually right in the studio.
Oh, he's in the studio?
Yeah, he's right
in the
studio.
Oh, no kidding. He's Tom Weaver.
Good.
What's he doing on the whiteboard?
Yeah, he's on the whiteboard. Tom Weaver on line one.
He was on the phone a few minutes ago, and now he's here.
Oh, now, I got one question for you, and don't hijack my show, but I got one question for you.
I don't do that. I understand radio.
I actually have 2 questions, but one's really important. Now, you've been gone now for the last couple of months. I understand you've been doing an excavation down at the Alamo. You've been trying to find Davy Crockett's actual musket.
Yes.
I know you brought a lot of people on board. Did you use any illegal aliens for this excavation?
No, I did not.
Okay, that's important because they're from Mexico. They might find that offensive with the whole Davy Crockett
thing.
In
fact, I actually asked the people, did they have green cards on everybody?
Oh, excellent.
And
all
I
right.
Was told
now,
that
the real question is because we didn't get a column in this edition for you this month. At least I don't think we did. If we did, it's because someone else stuck it in. Did you find the musket? I mean, this is a historical find.
Did not find the musket.
Damn it.
Trying to. But can I make one comment without hiding? I found one story. I did what you did on the Million Muslim March.
Yes.
There was one story in, I forget which press outlet, that the organizer was complaining because during their moment of silence, as the motorcycles drove by, they'd rev their engines. That was the one story that I found.
That was the story?
That was the story.
Oh, my God.
And Cornell West from Princeton was very upset at how rude the motorcycle drivers
were. Oh, gee, isn't that awful? How about how rude it is to have a million Muslim march in 9/11? How about that? No one thought about that rudeness, did they?
Agree.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom Weaver. Tom Weaver did not find Davy Crockett's musket. We're very, very, very disappointed about that.
Bad.
No, he didn't find it.
Huh?
Unbelievable. Now, what was the other thing we wanted to talk about? Jerry Remy. Do you want to get to Jerry Remy?
Sure.
3 weeks later? We got about 15 minutes. So here's the thing on Jerry Remy. Providence Journal. And I apologize for getting 3 weeks into this before we talk about this issue, but it goes right in line with what we just talked about. The Providence Journal ran a front page story online. Jerry Remy, and I'm paraphrasing because it's not in front of me. Jerry Remy pleads not guilty to murder charges.
That's right.
Really? Jerry Remy?
Big typo.
Huge typo.
Yeah.
Here's why this is a problem. First of all, Jerry Remy didn't kill anybody. He's not charged with anybody. His son is. But the other problem is, when you put Jerry Remy's name in a headline about murder, when Jerry Remy himself had nothing to do with that murder, you run the risk of making these types of typos and having somebody screw up a headline that says Jerry Remy pleads not guilty to murder. There's no reason why Jim Lyon's name should be in the headline of an Eagle Tribune story when his son goes out and does something. There's no reason why Steve Zani's name should be in the front page of a Tribune story when his wife is involved in something. And there's no reason why Jerry Remy's name would be in the headline of any story because his son is involved in something. And I really wish those of you who work in the media, especially news media, would stop with the salacious Inquirer baloney. And if Jerry Remy's son gets arrested, whatever his name is, Jim Remy, Phil Remy.
Jared Remy.
Jared Remy. It should be Jared Remy, not Jerry Remy's son. Scott Brown's brother, half-brother, got himself in trouble, and Scott Brown's name is in the headline? To me, that's yellow journalism. I don't care how you slice it. I'm not, listen, nobody in my family wants to take responsibility for what I do in life. I trust you that.
Nor should they.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if I get in trouble tomorrow, should it be Dottie and Cropper's son, Tommy Duggan, gets arrested for killing someone? I mean, you're putting the stink of the crime that someone did onto their family?
Well, of course, that would never happen because they are not celebrities.
Right.
You're more of a celebrity than them. Right.
But
Jerry Remy is the celebrity.
Right, but
here.
If my daughter Justice gets arrested tomorrow in Lawrence for drunk driving, should it be Duggan's daughter gets arrested for drunk driving?
No, that shouldn't be the headline. However, can you at least understand the maybe somewhere deep inside the article that it might say that that she, you know, just refer to her as your daughter just for a reference point for many people to know who she is?
No. Because I don't think the children or the relatives of people that have some kind of notoriety locally or nationally should ever have their behavior be foisted upon the person they're related to. In other words, if you want to pick up the National Enquirer to find out what Brad Pitt's kid did last week, and did Brad Pitt's kid get arrested for drunk driving? Well, that's salacious scandal newspaper, the Enquirer. That's where you expect to pick that stuff up. When you're picking up the Boston Globe, the Eagle Tribune, the Lowell Sun, there should be nothing in the story. If Rita Mercier, God forbid, Rita Mercier's son tomorrow gets arrested for drugs, her name should be nowhere in that story unless there's evidence that she picked up the phone and called the cop and tried to get him off because of who he is. But if there's no shenanigan like that present, there's absolutely, and I'm not even wavering a little bit on this, there's absolutely zero reason why that person's name should be in the headline or the story. Period.
So you're 100% on this one.
I'm not even like, I can't even see the other side of this.
You can't even distinguish between saying the celebrity's name in order for people to buy the newspapers versus putting it somewhere hidden within the article itself just to have a reference point as to who this person's family is.
No. Well, let me just kind of take it to a level of absurdity.
Yeah.
Dan Rivera's running for mayor of Lawrence.
Yeah.
He's friends with Dave Teresi. Everyone hates Dave Teresi, except Dan Rivera, because that's his friend, right?
Even Dave's mother?
Right? Well, let's not go down that road. I don't want to get sued again. But we're just getting over one. Let's not stop down that road. But let's say Dan Rivera loses the mayor's race, and Dan Rivera's friends with Dave Teresi, and Dan Rivera goes out, and he's at the beach, and he gets drunk.
All right.
Because he's friends with Dave Teresi, as much as I, because I hate Dave Teresi, as much as I would love to put Dave Teresi's buddy gets arrested for drunk driving, it's got nothing to do with Dave Teresi. Dave Teresi wasn't there. Dave Teresi didn't call the police to get him off. Dave Teresi didn't bail him out. It's got nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
So as much as I would like to somehow find a way to put the stink on Dave Teresi because I don't like him, the fact is, Dan Rivera is Dan Rivera, and Dave Teresi is Dave Teresi.
So somewhere, say, on paragraph 3 in the small print, if the article said something like, Jared Remy, whose father happens to be the Red Sox announcer Jerry Remy, blah, 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 blah. Would turn your skin.
No, I would fire someone at the Valley Patriot in 2 seconds if I read that in the column. In 2 seconds, I would. And again, let's remember, Willie Lantigua's children have been in a lot of trouble in the last 4 years. You've never once heard me on this show talk about it, ever.
Not well. Well, again, there's two different intentions here. One is to relate the person to the other person, and so to have them guilt by association. That's one intent, and I think that's the salacious intent of the Inquirer type rags. The other intent is simply as a reference point. You know, who is this person? Not that you're blaming Jerry Remy or that he has anything to do with it, but just a reference point as to who this guy is in the, you know, greater Boston community.
But what I guess where I'm having a problem is, why would that be important? If Tom Weaver's kid gets in trouble and they say Jim Weaver got in trouble in Westford last week, he got arrested for drunk driving. Mm. Why do the public need that reference point that it's Tom Weaver's kid?
Maybe it depends on the context. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with everything you've said so far, but at some point it may be relevant. And I think
when that happens, you know, when we find out Jerry Remy called a state trooper and tried to get the kid off, then print his name in the story. I mean, but until then, you've done is destroyed this guy because of what his kid did.
If you use the example, let's say Rivera and Teresi, right? Yeah. The example you gave, there should be no tie. But let's say we do it in a political spectrum where you look at whether or not he's going to represent Lawrence or a political clique that he is associated with over the last 4 years.
Right.
And then we can look at it.
In a political context, I agree with you. In a criminal context,
it has no bearing.
It should never have a bearing. And I say a pox on any person who calls themselves a journalist that writes a headline or a story where they inject a family member who, like, the person who wrote the story about Jim Lyon's son should go to hell. They should go straight to hell with the guy because they put out in the public something that was negative toward Jim Lyons and a stink on Jim Lyons and his political campaign and his family by identifying him in a story about something he personally had nothing to do with. And I couldn't feel more strongly about this, and those who know my background know why, but if you don't, I'll give you a little preview. When I sat on the school committee, my girlfriend did something, and my name was in every single headline. My name was in every headline. And I kept calling Dan Warner, and I kept calling that little troll, John McCone, and I kept calling, who's the other guy that ended up working for Cousins, Paul Fleming. And I called them every day and said, listen, why are you equating something that a non-elected official did with me? We're not related. We're not married. One has nothing to do with the other. Why is my name in the paper? And then it was other people that were connected to me. All of a sudden, Sweeney's name is in the newspaper because I endorsed Sweeney the last time he ran. Now the stink is on him. And the tentacles kept moving and moving every time they wrote a story. It's beyond ridiculous and absurd to try and justify why you would put a person's name in the paper with a crime story or a scandal story simply because it was a relative or a friend of theirs that was involved. Very little makes me as nuts as that does. But when I see poor Steve Zani had to get his name dragged through the mud, the mayor of Methuen, because of what his wife might have been involved in, man, I'll tell you, I couldn't get into this show to complain about that fast enough when that happened.
And then it turned out it wasn't completely
right.
Accurate.
Then it turned out they lied on top of it all, right? So, like, what do you do about that? What are you going to get your reputation back?
That's the danger in not doing, you know, investigative reporting. That's
like
that's
your job.
Yeah.
That's why we have the Valley Patriot, because the Eagle Tribune doesn't do their job. Paul, any final thoughts on this?
I think that somehow, I don't know if this is related, but it is kind of a news story that Jerry Remy himself took a leave of absence from Nesson as the announcer of the Red Sox, and he's gone for the rest of the season.
I wish we had more time to delve into this.
No, but he's gone for the rest of the season, so the news had to pick up on that somehow.
But I guess my position on that is he never would have had to do that if the story was Jared Remy arrested for murder.
Hmm.
It was no mention to Jerry Remy. If the story was about Jared Remy and no mention to Jerry Remy, Jerry Remy would be today at Fenway Park broadcasting a baseball game. I see a pox in the Boston Globe. I see a pox in the Boston Herald.
Maybe.
And the rest of them.
Maybe.
Pox. Right? If you live in Lawrence, please vote on Tuesday no matter who you vote for. Please. If you have a third vote in the at-large race, my friend Jorge Gonzalez is running for city council at large. Mark Gray, Jorge Gonzalez, Maria de la Cruz, who looks marvelous. No preliminary election in Methuen. We're going to be announcing the date of our Methuen mayor's race at next week's program. We're going to have the victors of Tuesday's election on next week's program. I believe Mara Dolan's coming in a couple of weeks. That'll be an awful lot of fun. Follow us on Facebook, folks. Local Daily News. And by the way, our Valley Patriot Bombers are playing right now at the Methuen YMCA. I'm going to try and get over there before they finish. Mel says go home, so go home already. George Papoulias, fantastic job today. Thank you, my friend. Telling you to go home. Telling you to go home. 980 WCAP, Lowell, Haverhill, Lawrence, Methuen, Nashua, and Salem, New Hampshire, serving the Merrimack Valley.